When two innersea superpowers go to war, the ripples are felt throughout the region. A group of intrepid heroes, or should we say, intrepid rebels, join a league of righteous freedom fighters to liberate their people from the binds of infernal tyranny. Nefarious forces from without and within will do anything to stop these hellbreakers. I'm Jason, and I'll be your GM for this diabolical defiance.
I'm Rue, my pronouns are they, he, or ze, and I play Nalastri, a Strix champion of Arshea, devoted to breaking Chalaxian shackles.
I'm Isis, and I'm playing Mizera, formerly of the Golden Arrhenius, a Nephilim human sorcerer hoping to save Isker and herself from hell.
I'm John, and I'm playing Thaddeus T. Millwright, a halfling inventor with a sinister secret.
I'm Ron, and I'm playing Augustus Manshuxley, a gnome lawyer and witch.
And I'm Mark, playing Flack, a goblin ranger who has something to prove.
And now, on with the episode. Previously, our intrepid hellbreakers met with Ethryn Howell, a wounded Eagle Knight soldier who has agreed to lend their martial expertise to the League. After a night of carousing in Breach Hill's temple to Caden Kalin, they set off across the country to Sarangallo. Though, with news out of Eladir that the Isgari government has placed a bounty on dissidents and revolutionaries, the trip may be more fraught than they anticipated. 19th
with,
of Roba.
With sketchy legal recourse,
gonna,
I must I'm
gonna,
say.
I'm going to get to you. I'm going to get to you. let me do the date. It's okay. 19th of Rova, 4725, Absalom Reckoning. We begin on a road leading out of Breach Hill. Ethryn Howell has purchased a horse and wagon in town and sits on the buckboard, their Eagle Knight armor stowed in a simple sack behind them. Augustus, do you think you're riding in the wagon, or do you think you're walking alongside the wagon?
Oh, of course I am riding in the wagon.
Okay, maybe your feet are dangling out the back, and you've grabbed the copy of
the bounty notice.
The bounty notice. Because the people of Breach Hill they're not hanging it up. So after the herald basically left, you snatched it down, and you've been reading over it for the past like hour or two since the morning. We're just gonna start off with a straight up legal lore check because I know you've got it.
Thank you.
Nice. Not eagle lore, but legal.
Legal lore. That's a different one. Legal lore. Legal.
Different than Eagle Knight lore. Alrighty.
It would be, yeah.
Alrighty.
Oh, that was almost a natural 20.
It was almost. Still pretty good. 21 is still very good. So you're reading over this. You know, and it begins like, by the grace and generosity of her infernal magistrix, Queen Abigail Thrun II of Cheliax, I, Hedven VI of Isgir, you know, do hereby proclaim a bounty upon all revolutionaries and dissidents, to the matter of 20 gold per head and yada, yada, yada. And it kind of goes on. It doesn't really give a lot of like definition of what revolutionary or dissident even means. And you know that like even a halfway decent lawyer could in a legal court basically sort of say like if this were to come to a matter of like going to sedition trial would be able to point at this and go, this doesn't provide burden of proof, is what I was trying to say there, you know, to make sure this, that, and the other thing. But at that point, that person would have already been arrested. Who knows what in any kind of jail, would there even be a trial after that? You know, so this is, you know, it probably it rankles is. You, right? Like how shoddy this sort of is.
It is done, and it could have been done so much better with just a little bit of additional legal rank. I struggle to avoid pulling out my quill in order to improve it.
Redlining it.
But I shan't do so.
Very good, very good. with Hod in the maybe probably walking alongside the wagon, just like ready with the
Hod is stuff. Walking, yes.
Yes. Ready with basically some stuff. You're heading out. It's still pretty early morning. Compared to the past few days, it's actually a bit cloudy. There's presaging probably a storm coming as you move along. Ethryn explains it's gonna be a little less than a week to get from Breach Hill to Sarangelo. And actually, I want to bring you all to a little map of Izgur so we can kind of get an idea of where we're going, what we're seeing. Reach Hill sort of up here in the sort of northeast corner. You're just kind of going, making a straight shot instead of taking the more well-traveled road south to the river here and then taking a river ferry to Sarangelo. You're kind of traveling across, you know, they're roads. There's roads, but they're not like well-kept exactly. They're not main travel, but you know, the horse in the wagon isn't going to throw a wheel or anything like that as you move along. I do want to ask though, who is anyone else riding in the wagon, or are you just sort of walking alongside? Especially you, Flack. I mean, as you, goblins are notoriously afraid of horses.
I want nothing to do with it.
Yeah, so you're like keeping a distance, but not going. Maybe you're like even like a little bit off the road since you're pretty rugged.
Yeah, you know, honestly, horses are fine with some herbs and stuff to improve the taste. They're kind of bland otherwise. Little stringy, little tough, but yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So you're walking. Yeah. Tad, what about you?
Yeah, I'm walking, but I'm not off in the brush. I'm walking like maybe just ahead of the horses.
Okay.
Because, you know, I'm barefoot. I don't want to be behind the horses.
Smart.
Good point.
Smart.
Good point. Yeah.
Good point. Mizera?
I think I am probably more accustomed to being in carriages, so I'm probably sitting in the carriage.
Okay, maybe you're sitting on the buckboard alongside Ethan.
Yeah, or like, yeah. I don't know, even on the back or something, I don't know.
Yeah, or next to Augustus, yeah.
Yeah.
And Nolastri.
Nola's walking. They're used to walking, and like, they don't really like to be inside of carriages and things that are very constrictive. So
if
at all she can avoid it, Nola is outside.
When you're walking, are your wings, like the angles of your wings sticking like straight up, or are they kind of over you? Like, how do your wings go when you're walking?
Kind of like they, for the most part, kind of like live up on the shoulders, so like kind of folded in over the shoulder blades almost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. That's another question. How many of you are taking any sort of trouble to disguise your ancestry?
A little bit.
Yeah. Or heritage, right? In the case of Mizera. Yeah. Okay. I mean, halflings, gnomes, probably not so big, you know, goblin. Yeah. Flack is proud to be a goblin, it seems like, so he's probably not hiding it in any. And again, you know, it's not like you're outlawed or hunted or anything.
Or more like indifferent to what other people think.
Yeah, fair enough.
Really. Yeah. I don't care.
So it's a day's travel. You move along here. Aetherin is talking to you, Nola, maybe asking about like, hey, where you're from. You're just getting a little background on you, just sort of making idle chit chat, trying to keep spirits a little up after what happened that morning. You get to an inn that night without incident. You do notice that on a board right outside the inn are two more of these notices, these bounty notices. And you know, there's some, you know, the innkeeper's like, this town, this country, you know, can't trust anyone, can't go anywhere. What's up?
I collect the two notices and hand them to Augustus.
Okay. You're tearing them down. Nice. Okay. Yeah.
I confirm they are drafted just as skilllessly as the one I have. Are they identical?
He likes these, so I gave them to him.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Someone in some scriptorium somewhere has written out identical copies of like probably hundreds and hundreds of these, and they've been posted all along the countryside. That herald was probably moving ahead of you, and these notices are maybe like a couple hours old at most.
Wait, save those, because sometimes we run out of toilet paper.
I shall save them, and my filthy goblin friend, if you don't mind grabbing any others that we find. I will keep these as well. I dread that the shame of poor legal language is being strewn across all of Izgur.
See, he likes them.
He likes them.
He likes them.
Yeah.
And this sort of pattern kind of repeats for the next couple of days. You travel for the day. It's maybe about 8-9 hours of wagon travel. There's a roadside inn that you're able to stop at. You're also seeing more of some of these notices posted on like farm wooden fences that line the road, just sort of on posts here and there. Are you collecting each of them as you go?
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah. Terrific. Terrific. Nail to trees, that kind of stuff, right? Like all that, whatnot. And the sort of the mid afternoon on the fourth day, which of course would be 23rd of Rova, 4725, you come to a small village, which there's a little signpost outside. It's called Draymore. It is literally like a one road town. There's a road that runs through it, a couple buildings on each side. It's got a tavern. It's got like a general supply store, a couple sort of houses, obviously. Most people seem to be probably living in farm outskirts, but come into town for that. But there's a couple of people who clearly live in town. Nathan says, stops the horse, pulls up and says, we just need to get a few more supplies. I'm going to head into the general store if you don't mind, the five of you watching over the wagon. Yeah. Appreciate it. And he heads inside. He's in there for maybe about 10 minutes. They're in there for maybe about 10 minutes when five, let's face it, louts come out of the local tavern. They are wearing, each of them is clearly, visibly, this sort of hastily made patch of the Cheliak's flag on their, tunics. And they are carrying little maces and crossbows, but they're not wielding them. They're just sort of clearly on there, they're packing heat, clearly, right? And they're all the five of them look a little bit drunk.
Of course.
Maybe a little tipsy at best. And here,
what's their species? What's their ancestry?
Oh, human. These five humans.
Okay. Those humans can never hold their liquor, I tell you.
That's certainly here we true. Are.
Oh no, Flack, you're so near the horse. Feel free to move yourself, set yourselves around near the wagon here. If you want to be in the wagon, that's also good. As these five kind of head out, and you can see here these chuckleheads look a little bit like this when they're a little more.
These are like children. You're right. Like a 22-year-old.
God, you're right.
Yeah. You're not old folks. Yeah. But, there's probably a little bit of range there. There's probably like 20. Maybe there's one that's about 35 years old. In fact, the oldest of them is kind of puffing up his chest as he comes out and he spots the wagon. And he comes, he starts kind of like looks at his friends and takes a couple steps closer. And especially sort of this, like looking at you, Flack, a little with a little bit of side eye, and then talks directly over your head to the rest of you.
It's fine.
What brings you to Draymore? It's your business here, strangers.
I guess I'll like step out of the like carriage a little bit. And just be like, look, it's we're really just passing through. Things are getting real crazy out in the streets. We're trying to get to someplace safer.
Yeah, you're telling me. Looks like there's some sort of war brewing out there, and it would be amiss if just let five strangers just sort of pass through our little town.
Well, I think you're five strangers in this little town.
Yeah.
I've lived here all my life.
I don't know that. Can you prove that?
Why should I have to prove it?
Why should we?
I was here first.
Yeah. Why should we?
No, we were here. You just walked out.
We're all here first.
No. We were in this tavern.
What's the deal here,
fellas? That's all I got.
do you want to try to like confuse them?
It doesn't seem very bad. Difficult.
Yeah, sure.
How's your deception?
I actually don't know. Let me see. It looks like a zero.
I have a one.
I mean, mine's pretty good, but I don't know. Trying to confuse them or trying to just tell them to go away.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to intimidate them too, you can do that. Attempt that. Or you can just start blasting.
Fireball.
Why would you start blasting?
They're just blasting.
A bunch of kids that came out of a tavern.
They're kind of forming like a little bit of a wall here.
Oh, look at that. They're in a perfect 20x20 shape.
You don't have fireball yet. You're level one.
Sort of like naturally, Nolastri like expands their wings to their full wingspan, which is not like as big as like,
yeah,
like not big enough for flight, mm-hmm. obviously, but like instinctively to kind of like cover anyone behind them, and because they're like, she's not sure what they're gonna do, so
right, yeah.
Wings.
There's
out.
A little bit. They're taking a little bit of back. You know, they don't probably see a whole lot of strikes around these parts. And I think two of this guy here and this guy here, they draw their crossbows, but not like just sort of like, whoa, out of like fear. Like,
yeah.
And the older fellow is like,
all right.
Yeah.
Okay. Now I know you want to give a good, welcome to people just passing through, and I'll gesture to, Mizera, my friend, and say we wanted to, just you know, maybe smooth things over with a little bit of talk, and I'll kind of nod and gesture.
Look, we really just want to pass through.
Mm-hmm.
How do we know you ain't with those rebels?
And I just like pull my hood down and look them straight in the eye. Do I look like a rebel to you?
Oh, you're one of the touched. You want to give me like an intimidate with that?
Yeah.
Love it.
Intimidation or deception, either one, because I'm kind of lying.
May I?
But, you know. Oh,
yeah, you're fine.
May I help?
Oh, you want to do aid along with that?
I would like to aid along with that. I want to aid along because I kind of set up Miseria for discussion.
Sure, just roll your. I think if you want to use your diplomacy, because you were being very nice about it, you want to use your diplomacy. I think you can.
I shall do so.
Yes, yeah, so let's take a look.
Oh, it's a good roll.
There we are.
Nice.
Another great roll. So it ends up being a 21 total for that intimidation check. And the older one of them is like, oh boy, okay, well, all right, well, you can't be too careful, you know, because some of the, even some of the touched like yourself end up being, you know, fighting against, because, you know, the Cheliacs, they don't care too much about folks like yourself. I think it's a sign of weakness is what I heard. No. And then the guy next to me, no. It's a sign of strength. They're hand in hand and fist with hell. He doesn't look completely convinced, basically, is what I'm getting at.
Mm. Yes, I'm well aware of the, situation of how various rebels might look like your everyday citizens. Isn't that an unusuality?
and you'd be traveling with a greenskin here. Pointing at Flack.
Uh-huh.
Well, he is our guide. He seems to know these lands relatively well.
I don't trust him. Goblins.
Can I designate the speaker as my prey?
As you should.
Yeah, I mean, give an eye.
Marking him.
Yeah.
And, sure, I'll let that happen, yeah. Do you want to do that in such a way that, like, lets him know you're doing it, or are you just doing it kind of quietly and silently?
No, just quietly and silently.
Okay, fair enough. Hey, give me the eye.
That guy's first.
Yeah.
We'll call him this guy here.
Okay.
This guy.
That guy. Okay.
Yeah. It looks seems like Ethryn's taken a bit longer than hopefully you'd care for it, as these five guys are kind of
standing around. Yeah, that's taking a while. Maybe I should go check on Ethryn.
Yeah. Look, are you guys gonna let us go? Or do I have to like start reporting this whole town?
Oh, no, we're is Gary proud here, and we're loyal to Hedvend. There's no need to report us, and Cheliacs.
Right. So
you wouldn't find anyone here in this here town would say otherwise.
Sounds like they're disrupting commerce, though. That can't be good.
That can't be good. So go
you ain't buying anything.
We have a friend in a town called
Draymore, no less.
I know.
What do you mean by that?
Don't you know what a dray is? My friend, I cannot imagine that your vocabulary is much larger than the distance that you have traveled. But everyone knows that a dray is a type of wagon that one uses, as my friend says, in commerce. So when you say that we are not disrupting commerce, I would say in dray more, no less, you see. Sort of a vocabulary pun. But a vocabulary pun in honor of your town.
Ron, do you want to give me your own check here? I don't know. Do you have dad joke lore?
Dad joke lore?
Thinking about switching my prey to Augustus.
I don't know, dazzle him with legal lore, maybe? I don't know.
I'll give it to you.
He's the real threat here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're LMD lore, like, what?
The one that didn't say anything like about like, hand and fist. There's the third guy who's one of the ones that hasn't drawn their crossbows, kind of elbows the speaker and the ribs and says,
"Yeah, well, I think he's making fun of you."
What do you mean? What are you saying? Making fun of me? I know what a dray is. Of course, I know what a dray is. Everybody knows what a dray is. It's a wagon that carries commerce
and
whatnot.
What's commerce?
What's commerce? Well, it's the vegetables and stuff. It's a type of vegetable, right? Isn't it?
Oh, that guy's
good. Where's that Ethereum at anyway?
That's some commerce here.
Sir, might you mean a collard, perhaps? But at any rate, I think that we've already had a robust discussion about your vocabulary or lack thereof, and I think what we've come to is that in the interests of letting us simply move along out of your town, you were in the process of simply letting us move along out of your town.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this one here is a little pointing at you, Augustus. Talk real fancy. And so, I think they're all right, I guess. Because I know them. I know them. Them Chaliaxes. Sometimes they're real highfalutin talks.
Devils do love their laws and documents.
All right. Oh, you're a lawyer, is you?
Aha! Yes, I'm afraid to say that. There are devils who practice the art of the law that give the rest of us a bad name, shall we say. But lawyers are needed in all sorts of transactions, whether in the purchase of vegetables of all kinds or in the simple commerce as we are partaking. I keep, as you may note, moving back to commerce because I keep insisting that we be able to be on our way, as you just said a moment ago. So how about this? The group of you can be on your way, and we shall be upon ours.
Yeah. The guy who didn't know much about
brains,
hand and fist. The main guy and his friend to his left says, I gotta get on home to dinner or anywhere. All right. I suppose you all can move along. And they kind of back off a little bit. Just as Ethern is coming out with some supplies, you know.
Some commerce.
And whatnot.
Mm-hmm. And some right, that's commerce. Right.
Kind of like looking.
Having committed acts of commerce.
Saying, yeah. You know, is there kind of, I guess, coming up to you, Tad, behind you, and says, is there a problem here?
No. Augustus made some weird joke, and I guess we're okay.
All right. Okay. Good. They saddle up get up on the buckboard again, and the wagon heads on out.
Okay.
You can feel them, the group kind of watching very steadily.
I'm kind of watching as them you move too. Along.
Yeah. Giving you especially a bit of the stink eye, Flack, mm-hmm. And you head out, and when Draymore is a little bit more behind you, you can feel Ethren kind of untense
the
a bit.
Like out of sight of them, I make like a deep sigh of like,
I don't want to have to do that at all.
Yeah. Ethan says, looks like, well, it's good that you handled that without any kind of violence. I don't want to draw any attention to ourselves any more than
just street kids,
street people,
punks, whatever they are.
I don't know. There's some people, you know, you're going to find in any kind of country like this, there's going to be some people who are still loyal to that damn throne. I'm sure. Anyway, I got you some things.
Oh, good.
Oh.
You know, while you're there, they had some stuff. The shopkeeper didn't realize that they were selling them. Looked like they were trying to get rid of them because not a lot of people had the coin to buy the stuff, but I did. So I thought I'd take it off your head, you know, and maybe you can use it in the weeks and months ahead here. They hand you a potency crystal. What looks like a kind of aerodynamic kind of bottle. One might consider this an alchemist bomb of some kind. And they explain that this is the shopkeeper told me this is something that I was calling it an atrophy bomb.
Atrophy
pretty
bomb.
Good against, yeah.
Atrophy bomb.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Seems like pretty good against the, I guess, the living. But whatever. And hopefully they won't come to that. I'm going to put I don't know who everyone wants to carry these things, but I'm going to put them in the party stash right now. Just a regular old potency crystal. Now, potency crystal, of course, is a talisman you put on your weapon. It takes about 10 minutes to affix. And then you can sort of, when you're about to swing it for about a round, you can have it to be a +1 striking weapon for that round. So pretty good at early levels for sure.
Nice.
This is just basically a lesser, of course, atrophy bomb. And you can see that it does basically void damage, persistent void damage. It drains strength out of the living.
Yeah. Wow. So nothing for second breakfast?
Nothing. Oh, there's food too. Yeah.
Oh, good. I was getting hungry. Yes. So,
second breakfast. It's practically dinner time.
Oh, second lunch. I don't know, whatever it is.
Seventh breakfast.
It goes breakfast, second breakfast, lunch, supper, dinner. I think.
Yes.
11. And tea time.
And tea time. Yes.
Forgive me.
I didn't know what time it was. I'm just hungry.
Terrific. You know, again, you head out put Draymore a little bit more behind you, before evening fully falls and you're able to, this time, I think this particular evening, you've got to kind of camp out.
There's no
good roadside inn to sort of sleep in. And, you know, Ethan's got some tents in the back for people where you can sleep in the wagon or sleep under the wagon, to keep the dew off you in the morning. That's something that I was, reading a book that I was reading happened a bunch apparently.
Very fun.
And it is about another day later, coming on to a full day later, coming on to evening, when Serengelo is not exactly in sight, but you've got one more river crossing to do. The Canarica River is there, and Serengelo is just sort of right on the other. There's an inn on the other side of this river, and then another sort of maybe a couple hours to Serengelo. So it's a bit in the distance, but I think, you know, it's clearly you're getting closer to quote unquote civilization. And of course, there is a ferry crossing here.
Excellent.
Big enough, obviously, for a wagon and a horse. As you're sort of where we're approaching, the ferry is sort of launching off. Looked like it had a sort of a larger party in it, and there's a sort of a ferryman shack on this side of the river, next to the dock. And right now, it's basically there's a really hastily scribbled kind of sign, that's basically says, be back in 15 minutes or however 20 minutes or however long it's going to take for the ferry to get there and come back, right? And you're all just basically have to wait there for a little bit.
I certainly don't mind the wait if it seems we'll be more likely to be by ourselves on this crossing rather than pressed in among those who may seek to do us ill.
Yeah.
Not or really crowd us in and smell bad. Yeah.
Well, I think that we can't avoid that in any case, and I give a look down at Flack.
So we obviously, here's the horse and the wagon. Oh, let's get Ethan in here as well.
I really like the soundscape here.
Yeah. Soundscapes on this. These are all the, we're just so you know that we are using the old, the official Foundry modules for this. And they come with delicious sounds.
The waterfowl began quacking and I was like, ooh.
pretty active for this time of evening.
Yeah.
It seems like they are, these here birds. I would love everyone, and so I don't have to do it, but I would love everyone to make for me a secret perception check.
A secret perception
check. Yes. To do that, you basically want to, it's a blind GM roll, it's called, here in Foundry. So you're going to, if you can just sort of click that under the chat, or just when the roll comes up, show it as a blind GM roll.
Mm-hmm. And if you're looking at your character sheet, it's the eye with the slash through it under perception. The slash through it,
yes.
Yeah, but the character sheet doesn't work for the rolls necessarily, does it? I thought when it popped out,
It does work, but if you have it popped, unless you have it popped out.
Yeah, if you have it popped out, it does.
Okay.
Okay.
That should have done it.
Okay. As you're all waiting, where are you sort of positioned around the wagon and whatnot, and the sort of shack that's right here, and I can see the pier and the river kind of flowing quite nicely.
Nola sort of always takes the like most defensive position in general, so probably close to the back here to keep watch for who's coming, because she's not particularly worried about the fairy.
Yeah, fair enough.
Black's gonna be over here by this rock, these rocks and tree. Good place to hide if need be.
Okay.
What time of day is it?
It is like duskish.
Oh, then I am right by the wagon. I'm gesturing to Hod to fetch my thicker evening coat so that I can change into it for the evening.
You're about to like cross a river too. It might be a little colder right on the water there. So you
exactly.
So you're busy getting a little your coat there. Flack, you're maybe sort of kind of looking at the foliage and whatnot, maybe seeing some sort of animal tracks or looking to get a bird. Tad, you're by the horse, it looks like, just kind of.
Yeah, that's where I've been. Again, I don't want to be behind the horse. Yeah. I don't want to step on that stuff.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Nola and Mazera, the two of you are, maybe the most on high alert here. No, you are sort of looking behind, but then like you kind of like feel like you hear something coming from the river itself, right? Mazera, you were able to spot this sort of before anybody else, kind of like something. It's the sun is sort of setting to across the river, so like looking in that direction is a little, you're getting a little glare from off the river and whatnot, but you're noticing that there's like something moving across the almost moving across the light up over the horizon, coming sort of like a little bit down the river, but not in the river itself, kind of above the river. There are two, for like 30 seconds, you're like, oh, that's a couple of birds just sort of flying, across my sight line through the sun. But then they get a little bit closer and they resolve themselves to be a little bit bigger than that. And as they get even a little bit, you can hear this leathery flapping of these two giant things. And as they kind of like, as your eyes kind of adjust to the light, Mazera, you can see that these are giant, like I'm talking huge bats. And there's something very, very wrong with them. Because do this. They look like this.
Like what?
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, that's wrong.
He's having a bad day.
They are sort of moving quite swiftly at the lot of you. Hold on one moment. I'll put them on the board here. As soon as they, well, we're going to basically going to, as they get this close, it's sort of when the horse begins to sort of like smell something and rear up. Ethan's sort of like holding the reins in to make sure that the horse isn't panicking. Both of these bats kind of simultaneously, that sounds just from the back of the throat and from the depths of hell itself. And I think that's where we're going to end it for this particular episode.
Oh.
We'll pick up next time
okay.
with a bat attack.
Bat attack. Dun, 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 dun.
Bat attack. Okay.